We all, with open face. The idea here is not a veiled face, it's to be open before God, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The Word of God is often referred to as a mirror. And as we look into it, unveiled, what do we see? We see a reflection of ourselves. So this applies to everyone. As we come before the Lord and look into His Word, being unveiled and being open before God, we look into the glass, into the mirror, as it were, to the glory of the Lord. And we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that this verse here teaches clearly the principle of looking into the Word of God and the power of meditated and memorized Scripture. As we look into the Word of God, the more we look into the Word of God, the more we see reflection of ourselves and the more true change can come. Notice here, this is a powerful, very powerful principle, because at the end of the phrase there in that verse, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is behind this and moving, and that's why it is a very powerful verse. Romans 12:2, Pastor looked at this morning, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Psalm 119 verse 11, our verse there. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Just to use a personal example for myself, probably about 12 months ago, I was working away at my job and I was very busy. I started to get a bit stressed out, but I just kept battling on. I thought if I just put my head down and keep going, I'll pull through this. All good, we'll do the Aussie male thing and just keep going. And I tried to get my family to understand that, okay, I've got a lot of pressure on, I've got a lot of year going on. So I just kept going and I had paperwork. I was started working on the principle, if I can work during the day and just let the paperwork pile up, when I come home at night, I'll do the paperwork and we'll catch up. We'll catch up eventually. If we just apply the principle long enough, we put the head down and we work hard enough, we'll eventually pull out of this. And I began to just get really stressed and anxious. And I had times, I kid you not, I had times when I was, what I put my poor family through, but anyway, I would be trying to do paperwork and I would just be so, had so many things going on in my mind and was just so stressed that I'd almost my brain would just shut down. I mean, I didn't black out or pass out or anything, but several times I couldn't actually function on what I was trying to do because I was just so stressed. And I came to a point where I realised, this is desperate, I better do something about this. And so I began to memorise some scripture. I got my wife to order a little pack here that I brought along with me. It's worn out. It's by Ron Hood and it's just scripture verses. It's a pack of scripture verses. Victory over worry and evil thoughts. And so I began to look through this and I began to memorise. I began to memorise some of these verses and really hide them in my heart and meditate on them. And this principle here, it came alive. Very quickly, I began to memorise on verses like, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I began to think about that and think, well, all this stress and all this trying to get my family to understand that this has to be done. I have to do this work. I've got so much. People are relying upon me. I've just got to do it. Hang on, let's begin to think about this. Let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I began to look through these verses. I've got just some good ones labelled out here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I did not have perfect peace, and my mind was certainly not stayed on God. But as I began to let the word of God do its powerful work within me, I began to see change. And I just said to my wife the other day, do you remember that time when I used to be, oh, that's right, yeah, and it was gone. And I must admit, just recently, I think it was when Pastor told me I had to preach, it all started coming back to me. Anyway, I pulled out this verse here, and it was a great blessing to bring some of these back to mind. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And some of us know these verses really well, but we need to meditate on them. See, there is power in meditating on the Word of God. Driving along in your van, and well, my work van, as it were, if I'm working, or if you're at home, wherever you are, and meditating on some of these verses has tremendous power. It is tremendous power. It is the Word of God. And so this was a, some of these verses, we've got some other ones here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice worrying about all our finances and all this work we've got to do. Let's just seek first the kingdom of God, and some of these things will take care of themselves. I realise that's in context of food and drink and there, but it's still about finances. I have another situation here. Sharice and I, we had a what we call a fearful situation shortly after we moved into our house 2 years ago. And I'll be careful how much I say, it doesn't scare people out of their wits, but because of the nature of the rundown house that we had moved into and more to the point, probably the nature of the people who lived in it before we were there, we began to have a bit of fear sometimes in case their friends or worst case, some of their enemies would come to the house or whatnot. And it seemed real to us, okay? It was a real issue and there wasn't really much we could do about it. The neighbours' stories made things worse. And without going into a lot of details, of course, after I started missing out in the sleeping area after several nights, we realised we need to do something about it. And I think my wife actually suggested this, but either way, we'll give her the praise for it. We did what we could. We put up a few sensor lights and whatnot, but how does that help your fear when they light up at night? Anyway, we began to memorise scripture, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And 2 verses later it says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, that's right, for the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I am with thee. Powerful verses. You meditate on these at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and go over them, and the Lord can really use them. Seriously, this is a very strong principle, and I know that most of you are probably thinking, Seth, have you finally caught up with this? But nevertheless, it is a basic principle that I think oftentimes we miss and we don't apply it, but nonetheless, it is there. Fear is a real thing. I've got that there. Okay, so I looked at some other verses. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And then one that really stood out to me was Proverbs 1:33. It says there, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You will be quiet, thinking about that some early hours of the morning, shall be quiet from even the fear of the evil. That meant a lot to me. The word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me look up that verse because it's got a great ending there. Hebrews 4:12. Let's look at that one. Hebrews 4:12. I think this is such a basic principle, and it is so simple. And yet I look at my own life, and as strong as I am on this subject, as it were, and as much as I think, yes, that is the answer, How often do I really apply this principle? How often do I have an issue in my life and I meditate and memorise Scripture? How often am I even memorising Scripture? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And look at this last phrase, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I have an example here in a book by Ron Hood. You'll laugh when you know the title, How to Live a Balanced, Successful Life, of all the books I would read. He has a section there on memorising Scripture. It can give victory over worry and evil thoughts. He said, when I was in the Navy, I led a young sailor named Sid to Christ. He had lived a very sinful life and had filled his mind with much corruption by means of television, movies, pornography, dirty jokes and many sinful experiences. One day, Sid came into my workshop on the ship and he looked discouraged and troubled. I asked what was wrong. He explained that he was having a horrible time with his thought life. He said the devil was continually bringing this corruption and his past life to mind. In parentheses, he said, yes, if you delve into the dingy dumps of your past, it will drag you down into the depths of despondency and despair. He did not want to think on those things, but did not know how to prevent it. He asked my advice. I recommended that he start memorising Scripture and review all his verses each day. 2 weeks later, Sid was in my shop again, and he seemed to be troubled about something. I asked what was bothering him. He said, you know those verses you asked me to memorise? Yes, I replied. Well, I've been memorising and reviewing those verses every day, like you said, and it has gotten to the place that the only thing I can think about anymore are those verses and the Lord. I just think about them all the time, and I'm wondering if this is normal. I asked, you're not thinking about the past anymore? Sid answered, well, no, come to think of it, I'm not. Yes, God uses memorised Scripture to give victory over evil thoughts. Couple of points on this principle. It is hard work. It may be a simple principle, but it is hard work to apply. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's hard work to bring your thoughts into captivity, but with the word of God will be the quickest transformation. Our labour is not in vain in the Lord. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. The principle here is that even our thinking, if we are going to change biblically, if we're going to have true, lasting change, we understand the principle that we must change our thinking. And if our thinking is to be changed, there are also some things that affect our thinking. For example, our senses, okay? Sight, what we see affects our thinking. Okay? So I encourage you, if you want to start applying this principle and see the power of the Word of God, it may help you to put around some visual things in the atmosphere in which you live to help you remember the Word of God. Things like sticky notes are a great thing. So I'm having troubles memorising the Scripture, I'm having troubles keeping it in front of me, I'm having troubles because I live such a busy life. Well, priorities are priorities, but maybe some sticky notes could help. It's a simple thing. So I said, this is really basic. Yes, it is really basic. But we need to do whatever we can to keep the word of God in front of us. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. I realise the context is mercy or wisdom, I think. But nonetheless, the principle still applies that we need to keep God's truth in front of our eyes. Pads, in your pocket, bits of paper, maybe bits of paper on your dashboard, in the car. If you've got a driving record like me, maybe you shouldn't do that. Put it on the outside of your car so when you get out you see it. Am I making sense there? Do whatever you've got to do to apply this principle. And I understand that some of us struggle. You say, Seth, I really struggle with memorising. Well, do what you have to do to get God's word in front of you. Do what you do to give it a chance to release its power in your life. See, there's people out there running around all over the place trying all sorts of things for change. I can remember I read a book once about thinking, and it was just a secular book. It was called Zero to 130 Properties in 3.5 Years. It was about property investment. Wow, it was a powerful book. I still haven't been able to get it out of my mind. But it's all about thinking and investing and being wise and all this sort of thing. And I can remember thinking, the power of thinking. Wow, and I can remember sitting down trying to apply this principle to my business. I've just got to think. I know I'm not the smartest guy, but if I can apply this in some way, just think. But I look back over my life and I can't really think of any times that it really did me any good. But the Word of God is quick and powerful. If you spend the same amount of time memorising Scripture, if not memorising, meditating on it, pulling it apart, going over it in your mind and seeing it release its power as the Holy Spirit is behind it, and see what amazing work it can do in your life. Keep it before you. Keep the Word of God before you. Also, hearing. The pastor's mentioned this before, and in his preaching as well. Hearing the Word of God. Don't underestimate the power of listening to good preaching that contains the Word of God, or listening to the Bible read in your ears while you're driving along in your car, and so on and so forth. Challenge, how much time do you and I spend meditating on Scripture each day? How much time do we really spend on meditating on Scripture each day? Thought about this many times. You get up in the morning, okay, you read a few chapters, whatever, you have your quiet time, and then you're off into the day. And how much of it? Shame on many of us. But how much do we really apply this principle? We know it works. We know it's so basic. But how much do we let it work in our minds? Because you and I are becoming what we think about, basically. You and I are becoming what our hearts focus on. And we let rubbish and trash float through our minds day after day and wonder why we're being conformed to the world and why we are not changing, why we're not becoming more Christ-like. If we let the same amount of good things come to our mind, it would make a big change. Can you imagine if you went down to the service station and you were just about to put the petrol pump on? And just above it there, it's got the scripture verse where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And you listen up there, and it's got these big speakers up the top there, and it's got Alexander Scorby going, reading through the book of Proverbs. You get in your car and you drive out the driveway there, and there's this big billboard on the side there that says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You go through the checkout there, and there's a big magazine rack there with Science Creation magazines and O. Timothy magazines all there. You get the picture. It's going to have some effect on you. What are we being affected by every day in our world compared to what the intake is of what's our mind dwelling on Scripture as opposed to everything else that's washing through our minds, everything else that's affecting us from the outside? I did number these notes, so I should be able to put them back together. To be missing one. This is a principle that the world uses. Now, they don't meditate on Scripture, but if they decide that they want to do something or become something, they meditate on it. They think about it. Not always consciously either. Here's a young man, example, a young man, he has no restrictions when it comes to letting violence come into his mind. There's plenty of them out there. I've seen them. I've been in the house, and some of them don't even look up. They're so busy playing on their internet games, linked up to some other guy or whatever. They talk to them, and away they go. He thinks about killing and shooting with no limits. He plays violent computer games. He watches violent DVDs and videos. He feasts on violent and loud rock music. Question, what is he going to be when he grows up? A self-controlled, reserved, good, upright citizen? No, he is going to be a violent man. Here's a young lady, let's say, for example. She starts thinking about becoming a great athlete, an Olympic marathon runner. She begins to train and run. She begins to think about anything to do with running. She reads, she watches. She is consumed and focused on running. She even pays a personal trainer to help her learn to run. What is she going to become? Very fit, yes. She's going to become a good runner. See, the world applies this principle. It's a basic principle, but it is not as powerful as the principle of the Word of God and its power, because it has the Holy Spirit behind it with a great blessing upon it. This principle will lead you to true success. True success. Psalm 1. Most of you know this passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his heart, you might say, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like that bit. Throughout my life, like any person, always have thoughts of how can I become successful? And God has a completely different definition of success than the world has. And there it is. You want to be successful? You show me a man of God, a woman of God, who is successful in the eyes of God, and I'll be able to show you someone who meditates in the scriptures day and night. What is your heart focused on tonight? What is it that your thoughts go to when you have that spare moment when nothing else is available? The mobile phone is flat. Nobody else is around. There's nothing to do but sit down at Trinity Medical Centre and wait to see the doctor. Where do your thoughts go? What is it that consumes you? What does your heart think about? Because you know what? That's the direction your life is going. See, this principle is sort of like a barometer. It's like a thermometer too, because you can test where you are right at the moment by where your heart is. But it also gives a good indication of where you are heading in life by what things you think about. The things that you, I mean, is this not a basic principle? I mean, this is just so simple, but it is so true. We know the principle, but how much time do we spend meditating and memorising on Scripture? What is your heart focused on? Is it an eternal thing that it is focused on? If it's eternal, it will be based on some form of meditated Scripture. Godly thoughts are based on meditated Scripture. You know, this principle goes as far as you want to take it. If you just spend a short amount of time per day meditating and going over the Word of God, it will have a small effect on your life. But depending on how far you want to push this principle, will depend on how far the results come into your life and how blessed you are by it. Psalm 119 verse 2 said, "Blessed are they that seek him with the whole heart." The whole heart. All of it. I'm going to end with this verse here, Joshua 1:8. You know the verse well. I know it so well, I've actually forgotten it. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." A simple, basic thought tonight. What's your heart focused on? You can check your own heart, see which direction you're going in by what your heart really meditating on. What's really in your heart? And can I challenge you tonight and encourage you to try out this principle? You have something in your life that you look at. You look into the mirror of God's word and you see something in your life that you are struggling in the area of change. You are struggling to make a difference. It is just going on and on. And maybe sometimes for years. And you think, will I ever change in this area? Can I challenge you to get half a dozen, a lot more if you can, but start with half a dozen verses that directly deal with that subject. Write them down and go over them every day, as much as you can, morning and night. And let the Word of God, let the Word of God have its free course in your life. And don't be surprised if there's some radical change in your life, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces right down as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Can I challenge you with that tonight? Thank you.